Welcome to the Dairy Farmers of Canada's podcast series, Paths to On-Farm Excellence, where we discuss priority topics for Canadian dairy farmers. My name's Stephen Roach. I'm an epidemiologist with a passion for dairy cattle health and welfare. I did my master's and PhD trying to understand how farmers, their staff, and their advisors can work together as a team to improve. I'm also part of a team working with the Dairy Farmers of Canada to help showcase Canadian dairy farming stories, industry updates, and the latest science, advice, and perspectives on high-priority topics that relate to ProAction. You'll find this channel features a number of different series, from environmental sustainability to animal care to biosecurity and beyond. This podcast series features conversations with farmers, veterinarians, and other farm advisors, researchers, and many other industry stakeholders. Our goal is ultimately to provide farmers and their advisors with useful information that can be applied back home on the farm. If you like the content here, don't forget to subscribe to our feed and tell your friends. Dairy farmers have really always been regarded as stewards of our natural resources because effective environmental practices contribute to the continued and long-term success of their farms. We know that careful management of things like soil, water, pastures, wetlands, and woodlands on farms are going to help ensure that future generations can farm successfully. So I sat down with Josh Dillman, a dairy farmer in Prince Edward Island, to get a better understanding of how he manages some of these factors, soil health, biodiversity, and even his experiences as it relates to the environmental farm plan and the environment module within ProAction. So let's jump in. Well, Josh, pleasure to get the chance to sit down with you today, chat a little bit about your perspectives, your practices, and overall, just generally your thoughts on all things environment in the world of modern day dairy farming. So thanks very much for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me, Steve. It's always a great opportunity to share what's going on in our business and our farm with others.
So let's start there. Let's tell me a little bit about your farm, your family, where you are today, and we'll go from there.
Well, I'm very lucky to be a father of three children, and I farm in PEI with on my wife's family farm. It's a partnership that exists here, and there's my father-in-law as well as his first cousin involved, and we milk about 180 cows, and we have farm manage, I guess, between owned and leased about 800 acres. Our goal is to try to be as self-sustaining as possible. So we try to grow a lot of the crops that we need every year to feed and maintain the cows.
So we're here today to talk a little bit about and focus on that latter part you talked about, sort of the environment as a whole, how we manage it, how we shape it, how we farm it, and the impacts of doing so, and how we ensure the long-term sustainability of those things. That sort of has become probably more prominent of a conversation today than ever has before, at least outside of a primary production, farming circle. We've got things like ProAction that have built an environment module in there, and they're really trying to focus on a couple of key pieces that Canadian dairy farmers need to do in order to maintain and preserve the environment. And I wonder what your thoughts are. If I ask you the question, sort of, what does environmental stewardship mean to you as a farmer? What comes to mind? How do you look at the environment, and how do you look after the environment on your farm?
Really, for us to be successful as dairy farmers, a healthy environment is almost the most important thing. Like we can't exist in today's world of food production without valuing the environment and really taking care of it, because that's how we make a living. Regardless if we're talking about taking care of the land, whether we're talking about taking care of our animals, the better job that we do in keeping things healthy is really the only way that we're going to be able to sustain our business. And as well as that, I think like a lot of the small business and entrepreneurs, that we're hoping that potentially the next generation after us is going to do what we do. And they're not going to be able to do that unless we do a very good job taking care of the resources that we have. And we need to take a very good care of our land, the soil, the water. For us, But the other piece is the dairy farms that are speckled all across the country are all in rural, mainly in rural communities. They're very active in rural communities. You know, we value our neighbors. We want to not only take care of the environment for ourselves, but we also want to make sure that we're part of an active community that's healthy, and that the environment around us, for ourselves and for them, is at a level that keeps everybody happy.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it is such a holistic sort of perspective, isn't it? It's not just about the being able to grow the right crop to feed the cows. There's so much more to it than that. And it does really make you think about how interconnected everything is here on the farm, beyond the farm, within our communities, and so on. If I asked you what kind of environmental practices you'd consider as, you know, positive practices that you've adopted on your farm, what comes to mind?
I think that we've been fairly lucky in this business as being, let's call us the junior generation or the younger generation coming in that that my father-in-law and his business partner, they did share in that vision before we were involved in the business. And, you know, they've done things like invest in wind turbine on the farm, solar heating for hot water, which has been tremendous, as well as a lot of other things in the business that is very common for dairy farmers to do, whether it's heat recovery off our milk, plate coolers, and all of that sort of thing. So, as well as I grew up on a dairy farm, even though I'm not farming on that farm, and my father had a strong value for that too. So whether it's nutrient management planning and or that kind of thing. So I think when you look at it, that set the great fundamentals for us as valuing that. Since we've been active in the business, you know, we've made some pretty strategic investments for us. You know, we've pretty well almost completely moved to conservation tillage, away from, you know, to try to keep as much residue as we can in the soil and in the land. We've made a lot of strides in production, and it's a funny thing to say, but because it doesn't feel like it's the environment. But what it's allowed us to do is be more efficient. And when we're more efficient in the number of animals we're feeding, it lets us, you know, reduce emissions from the animals that we have on our business, as well as we spend less hours cropping with our equipment. We need less crops in. So, you know, all of those things are kind of a snowball effect. So those kind of things, we're continually trying to move forward on evaluating exactly how we're going to do things. Like, I think as us as a generation and trying to look where we're going, what's the plan? You know, the environment is always a part of that, whether we're thinking about, you know, we completely changed how we're going to feed the cows, let's say. So we bought a new TMR, we changed our rations a little bit. We went from running, having to mix feed for over 4 hours a day to under two, you know? So those kind of things, even though they're more efficient for us, well, that savings for us was about 5,000 liters of fuel a year. So that, you know, those things are all money, but they also make a big difference in the environment as well. So.
Yeah, no kidding. That's it. Yeah, major impacts. I wondered, I've worked with a lot of farmers out our way in Ontario, chatting with them about different things. And one area that's come up a lot for particular farms more than others, but is water and energy conservation. You've talked a little bit already about some of the energy pieces or just renewable energies and things like that. It sounds like you've got going. Anything on the water side that's of note, you know, thinking about from milking to even wastewater management, if you think on that side of things?
One thing that we have done in the last couple of years, and it took us a little bit of head scratching to do, but what we were lucky enough in our setup is that we recover all of our plate cooler water, and which is roughly 3,000 to 5,000 liters a day that would run through that. So that water primarily goes to washing the parlor down. So we're recovering that water to then have a second use for it. And it still ends up in the same place. All of the wastewater ends up in the manure pit. So we're recovering that, as well as the overflow from that then goes and feeds a water bowl in our barn. So we have 5,000 liter tanks that can fill up and be used for either. And so we're doing that right now. So that, like I said, that's a recovery of 3,000 to 5,000 liters of water a day that we've been able to do. And I think the other thing is, not to harp on a little anymore, but when we've reduced the cows we've milked by about 20% in the last 6 years. And you know, we all know, like, they love talking about a cow drinks a bathtub of water a day, that kind of thing, right? So we've been able to displace that water as well, or maybe not displace, let's say leave it in the ground, mm-hmm. or be more efficient with that production wise too. So for us, like, the water use is really in the burns. And we just try to make sure, if we're going to be using water for something, that if there's a wastewater portion of it, if that's usable, then we try to find a use for that the best we can.
So you talked about nutrient management plans. I think most farmers are quite familiar with that terminology. Another one they're becoming more and more familiar with is the environmental farm plan, which has become a requirement to complete under the ProAction initiative. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, maybe how that's influenced, or maybe your experiences generally, but how that's influenced sort of your thinking, if nothing else, on your farm?
Well, I think the environmental farm plan definitely has an interesting place in our environmental stewardship, because it's a self-evaluation and you have to walk yourself through different modules. It kind of makes you sit down and think about those things. And, oh, well, yes, okay, I didn't score great on this from what I'm doing. Well, what are my opportunities? What should I be doing? And in the end of the day, you know, it probably puts things in your mind that you're, you know, maybe you talk to your neighbor about, you know, it's something that's on top of your mind. Manure management is, well, I wonder what Joe down the road does, or whoever, you know, or maybe you have a good relationship with someone in extension that can provide that. But I think that's what it does, is it recalls all of these things that maybe kind of get skipped over. As we're trying to manage a business and all these different things, and sometimes it can't be the focus. So I think that's a really positive thing for us to do. And it kind of jangles your chain a little bit, and then it could be a motivator too, or a reminder of, oh shoot, that was something that I thought about and I never got to. Last time I did this, I didn't do a whatever XYZ, whatever you're talking about. So I think it holds a good place in the process to be able to move forward on some things, and maybe, like I said, just a reminder of where we are and where we could be.
Has your EFP in particular motivated any change at this stage for you? Has there been, or even anything that in particular you learned, or maybe just an aha moment as you've gone through it most recently?
One thing I think, and we never like to talk about it, you know, because it's usually not in a positive light. But one thing I do like about the EFP process in our province is that it is very good at outlining what we are responsible for legislative wise. And I think that sometimes that can be confusing. Sometimes it can be, you know, unsure of what, you know, in this situation, what do I do, or what am I responsible for? Because, you know, that's like anything. It kind of slips our minds too if we get busy. But it's incredibly important we make sure that we follow these rules that are set out in front of us, whether we agree with them or not. So that's one thing I really do enjoy, is I think that for one day or one time and every so many years, you have the ability to sit in front of somebody and someone can talk to you about these, which is something that, you know, is incredibly important.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, that's great. And it does sound like, if nothing else, it offers that sort of comprehensive look at, what opportunities are, and then, you know, driving change from there. Now, if we talk about something you've touched on a little as well, but you know, most people, when we start talking about environmental stewardship, you're right. I think, you know, naturally start thinking, at least in a farming context, about the land, land management. And a huge part of that is soil health. It's critical, obviously, for crop yields. It's critical for so many things beyond just the pure production of the land itself. How do you manage soil health on your farm? Is there any, you know, particular elements you want to share? You mentioned a little bit already about trying to conservation tillage, for example. Maybe you want to get into that thinking a little bit, or some of the changes that led to that.
As far as we go, and I had touched on that before, I think there's two incredibly important pieces in our business, and it's the health of the environment and it's the health of our animals. You can't continue to be successful moving forward without both of them. So when we look at what we're doing in our soil, I think we're kind of, we're fairly lucky here that we've had great luck growing alfalfas, like many other parts of our country for that are feeding their dairy cattle. And I think that really gives us a little bit of a bump when it comes to environmental sustainability, when you can establish a crop for two for 3 or 4 years, and all the environmental benefits that come to that, whether it's, holding water, water sequestration, carbon sequestration, really aerating the soil, maintaining a healthy biodiversity in your soil with all the microorganisms, like that kind of thing. As well as, like I'd mentioned and you had pointed out, we had went to conservation tillage mainly, and that's another part of that, of trying to keep that residue on top of the soil, especially in the winter months, in PEI. What makes our soils extremely productive is also kind of a bit of an Achilles heel if we're not careful. We have extremely sandy soils here, very susceptible to water and wind erosion. So the most cover we can keep on them is the best advantage for us and for the environment. So really that's kind of what drove us there to be able to kind of look into this and try to, continually move forward. As a dairy farmer, like that's one thing that I think is shared a lot throughout the industry, is that we're constantly looking to do better. And as you know, the environment's no different. As we, we're lucky enough that there's great resources in this world now, and we're learning things every day. And I think new things that we're understanding about our soils, we're understanding about crop management. Another thing that we've adapted in the last couple of years is slow-release fertilizers, and that's not unique across the nation. Lots of other places are using that. That's something that we're starting to use more of. We've seen some benefits of it, and we've seen that they've been able to sustain profitable and healthy crops using them. So it's always, when you try something new, it's always, you're interested. So, that's also something we've been able to do here in the business. And we've played a little bit with, to be honest, we're probably maybe a little behind. We've played a little bit with cover crops. It's something that's in the front of our mind, and I think it's something that we're reaching for, and it's something we're striving for. And hopefully we can kind of start bringing that to fruition here in the next little bit.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, it's a good past, present, and sort of future perspective on where you stand today and where you've come from a little bit as well. So let's chat about one other area that's, I think more and more coming into the fold, particularly when we talk about sort of conservation, but again, using that word stewardship more broadly, we are now having conversations about biodiversity. When you hear protection, maintenance, conservation of biodiversity, what does that mean from your perspective as a farmer, Josh?
I think traditionally people came with fear when that conversation was introduced, and what does that mean for me? Farmers are we own a lot of land, as a group, a lot of land, so a lot of things initially when they were talked about, there was a lot of concern. Okay, well, what impacts is that going to mean? What is that going to mean for me? But I think that conversation has changed substantially. And I think that, as anything, typically a lot of people can respond to something new with fear or just not understanding. But now we're getting to the point where, Ducks Unlimited, I think you could throw a stone in a room and, you know, they've had such an impact on, you know, probably hit three people. Like there's such an impact on people, whether it's they have a pond, like we ourselves have a Ducks Unlimited pond on our business. You know, we're talking about, you know, maintaining hedgerows, which is, you know, there's some biodiversity benefits to that, as well as, you know, as in PEI and other places, other benefits for wind erosion and different things like that. So I think that we have an incredible opportunity as being the stewards of land that not only, you know, we need for our business to work, but, you know, there's a lot of other users of land other than just ourselves. So I think there's a balance there that we can achieve. And I think that as we move forward and we continually adopting practices like is outlined in some of the literature for us achieving greenhouse gas emission goals and that kind of thing, that only continues to build a healthy environment. And then that kind of the biodiversity that can accompany that was, I think is also great. Like there's some areas around our farm that traditionally we probably would have tried to cut hay off of or tried to farm or that kind of thing. And you know, that's probably been retired back into what its most appropriate use is. And it's something that's, you know, if it's not left 100% in the grass the whole year, maybe it's only trimmed once a year or something like that. And that maintains, you know, there's a vast amount of species of birds or different wildlife that have habitats in that. So it's, I think that there is opportunities for us, and that anything that we can do to help, we can. And I go back to the fear that we talked about at the first, is I think people thought it meant vast portions of land or big areas but you know, when you start talking, any little bit helps, whether it's a half acre around a wetland that's being maintained or just a wider buffer zone or, you know, these kind of things. The impacts around our riparian areas are very well documented, that they don't necessarily have to be acres and acres and acres, that there's benefits to feet, let's say, in some situations. So, you know, as that knowledge and that education gets pushed out into the industry, I think there's a better appreciation it kind of gets over some of those hurdles, because as basically this whole talk's been about, I think as dairy farmers, you know, we're passionate about the environment and we want to make sure that we do the right thing for ourselves and our communities. And you know, it's not very hard to motivate us to do some of these things as we incrementally move forward.
Do you have any thoughts on, I want to say a piece of advice, but it's not really advice so much as it is, you know, having a chance to maybe have a platform to speak to other farmers listening here around the mindset that you might like us as an industry to embrace when we think about environmental stewardship moving forward.
How I view it, and not to say that's right, is we all have different perspectives, but I think sometimes we've been so caught up in what environmental practices have been advertised, or let's say they're sexy, like these big projects. Sometimes we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars or more to do, you know, a biodigester or maybe a complete whole change of cropping practices and, you know, buying bigger, different kind of machinery. Like, and which is all great. Like if people are doing that, that's tremendous, because that is very important that we do that. But I do feel that the mindset is anything you can do, because we need to strive to keep moving forward. So one thing you do next year, you didn't do this year, that's moving forward. And I think we need to evaluate in our situations, you know, maybe a biodigester is never something we can achieve. Maybe cover cropping doesn't fit in our cropping plan. Maybe, you know, you can go down the list. But I think for every one of those things, you can turn around and say, yeah, but this does. Yes, but I can do this. And that's kind of the mentality that I think as an industry will continue to move us forward, that we don't have to make monumental changes to make change. I think if we look back 5 years from now and you say, what was I doing then? What am I doing now? That's, you know, that's the change. That's the change we need to see.
That's great. Well, with that, Joshua, just thank you very much for taking the time to chat with me today. I learned a lot from your perspective, your mindset, and some of the practices you're implementing on your home farm as well. So thanks very much for taking the time to chat.
Well, thank you very much, Steve, for reaching out. It was great. And I hope that that you enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to the Dairy Farmers of Canada's ProAction podcast series. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For more information, please visit www.dairyfarmers.ca/proaction. And don't forget to like and subscribe for more content. You'll find us online at dairyfarmers.ca or anywhere you find podcasts. This podcast was narrated by me, Stephen Roach, produced by Aaron Winans, and edited by Carly Wright. Thank you to our guests and to you for listening. This project is hosted by the Dairy Farmers of Canada and is funded by the Canadian Agricultural Partnership, a federal, provincial, territorial initiative.